of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. Well, we've haven't recorded for about three games. We are recording now the 23rd of June, and since then the Sounders have rattled off a victory, a draw from the clenches of defeat, and then a comeback victory at home.
7 points
against
in 7 days.
Who the hell was that?
When, yesterday?
Yeah, I'm mixing up Houston, Minneapolis, and Dallas. So we had Minnesota, yeah. Houston, Dallas in that order. Minnesota was the 50th anniversary game, went on the road to Houston, and then Dallas.
But it hasn't been that long
came
since we recorded.
Back to Lumen.
It just happened that we had.
Yeah, it's only been about 10 days.
In a week.
Exactly. So we have a lot to catch up on.
This is a big soccer day.
We'll go over all three games, obviously. It's a big. There's a lot of fun things that happen related to local community soccer, and you attended. We'll get into that as well as some scuttlebutt. But first, I'm Aaron Lingley, and you are the Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. I'm going to open my Rainier to victory.
That's pretty. I'm going to open up my Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. Woo. Get all caffeinated up at this late night hour. Hopefully it'll help my sunburn.
Dr. Pepper doesn't have caffeine.
Yeah, it does. I wish it didn't.
I'm thinking of root beer.
Yeah, root beer doesn't. It's like the fifth ingredient, so it's got extra caffeine compared to some of them.
Is caffeine an ingredient or just a...
Yeah, usually they add it in.
I don't know why I'm looking at my Rainier.
Is there caffeine in that? That's not Four Loko, man.
Oh, God, those were the days.
Yeah, they still have Four Loko, but it's not the Four Loko. I remember there was a... down the block from where the Sonic Skate House was, there was a... there is still, because I go there sometimes, because it's one exit away from me, a gas station, and they had Four Loko still afterwards, and they were selling it, and I bought a case because they had to like clear it out, right? So for like a year or two, I saved Four Lokos just to have them bust out on secret special occasions.
And a year later, they're like,
oh, they're still good.
400 Lokos.
They're still good. I miss them.
Yeah, that was high school for me.
Oh, jeez.
House parties. Yeah.
In high school, I feel like...
You have your 40s, your Four Lokos, your Carlo Rossi's.
Did you have Boone's Farm?
What's Boone's Farm?
Wine cooler.
Shit wine? Jug. I don't think I've ever really had... I don't think
we
had
always
a wine
had
cooler
the,
before.
We always
really
had
know.
The wine
What's
cooler.
What is a wine cooler?
It's like Kool-Aid and wine together, basically. It's very, very sweet.
Ooh. It sounds terrible.
It's
and
like strawberry sometimes. Daiquiri flavored. So it's like a wine-based strawberry daiquiri type thing.
No, I mean, I always went for quantity. Or necessity, which was Four Loko. Like, all right, let's just chug this and be on another level. But speaking of another level, the Sounders seem to be playing on one, and people are talking about them. We should talk about some scuttlebutt. And
yeah,
then them.
I think we should also...
What do we got going on?
USA played in the Common Ball... Copa America today, 2-0 against Bolivia.
Okay, I got to halftime, or no, about 30 minutes, and then had baby duty. I wasn't going to watch the rest. I was going to skip through it.
Yeah, I mean, solid victory. I fell asleep during the second half, so I didn't see some of it. I also then slept through most of Uruguay versus Panama first half, and I know Uruguay was dominating. It was only 1-0 at the half. And Jamaica sadly lost to Mexico, even though they had a goal. It got taken away that would have put Jamaica up 1-0. So it was an interesting day for CONCACAF, for sure. 3-1 final in that Uruguay versus Panama match. And then, of course, we had Euros this morning or this afternoon at noontime local. I think Germany, Switzerland, did they draw? I think they drew. And then
are they there? Is it round of 16 now for that?
I think it's the last group stage, because they,
this is the start of the second.
Yeah. It's the last day of group stage because they had,
started
they
the
had,
week.
All the games at the same time. So, Switzerland tied Germany, Germany had a late, very late goal and Hungary beat Scotland 1-0, to put, Germany and Switzerland through in that group. Scotland had a rough time, and Hungary, if they had won, could have made it through. But I mean, they did win. If they had won that last match when they were, I think Switzerland, they had a chance. But it's been fun. I don't know if you've been able to watch any of it while you're on daddy duty, but there's some good games.
I set. Yeah, I'm on leave, so I assumed I'd have a little more free time, and I set the tournament as like. On YouTube TV, you can set like an event or a team as you're recording. So like every game is recorded and I could watch them all. And I tend to spend what now 2 weeks now. And I was like, sweet. I'll be able to watch like every fucking game. And, you know, parents would know when you have a 4 month old, things just get interrupted constantly. And then when I'm not able to complete a match and there's other matches going on, I just, it's been like overwhelming to try to even watch
just go
any
YouTube.
Of them.
They got this.
So I'm focusing more on.
They got the 7 minute reviews of the games, you know, on YouTube. You should just watch that, get through it fast.
Yeah. 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 Totally. I'll probably do that. And then, but now that it's like the knockout stages coming up here, that's then I'll really start probably getting focused. But it's just other than. Like Sounders, where it's like the family knows I get to whenever I start it, which is something I'm going to bitch about, actually, Apple TV. I get that 90 minutes, 2 hours. And I usually start it like right now, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
Although,
yeah, not a lot of time.
Before we get too far away from it, the Seattle Reign played today and tied 1-1. So we also had local soccer today.
I missed that. It kind of broke up, but I think the recording will be fine. What'd you say, though?
The Seattle Reign played today and tied 1-1. So we had, the local Reign. Soccer today as well.
Okay. Well, you went to Fun Week, actually, for Pub League, some other local soccer.
I did. I
wasn't
there. I popped
there.
Out and
I did.
Played in the Classic League, which had some fun times. I think it's the right pace for me soccer wise. I struggle a little bit with the goofiness, the goals being turned around backwards, people coming on dressed as wizards. I didn't mind people.
Well, that's Fun Week.
I didn't mind people running around with beers in their hands. That's fine. Yeah, it was a little bit wild. But it was fun, and you know, we'll see how I feel tomorrow. I'll probably take some more ibuprofen or something tonight. But my knees made it through. They making cuts and moving my legs in ways I haven't in a long time and kicking the ball a lot. I'm in pain in muscles I didn't know existed because it's been a decade since I've played soccer in any capacity. And I ran a lot more than I usually do. I walk usually, but not run. So it was good, though. It was good times.
Yeah.
I had some of the riot juice, which was very alcoholic, and it was fun to watch a bunch of people kick soccer balls at pinatas to break them open, and the little kids ran over and took all the candy out of the inside.
Aw. Yeah, Randy had some stuff to do today, and since it was Fun Week, which is not a competitive week, I took it. And said, "Hey, I'll stay at home."
Especially
and
since
I've actually yet to be at a Fun Week.
Bummed especially out. Since I hear you have plans Thursday night. If you haven't forgotten,
yes, we are going to the Storm Fever game.
You and Gracie's coming along, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gracie, we got Nicholas Biella and Roma.
Yep. And
it's going to be a fun little outing for us. Well, yes, you brought it up, so I figured.
Because it's my birthday. Woo.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. Is that your birthday?
Yeah, it's my actual birthday. And the other beauty of it is because we're there, we're missing the Trump versus Biden debate, so we don't have to go into the political world. We can just enjoy soccer or sports world.
No, unfortunately, the WNBA, because of Caitlin Clark and some other shit, has become a little bit political too, but whatever. I'm excited. It'll be great. It'll be Gracie's first like basketball game that isn't the Super Hawks.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, she went to the Super Hawks last year, but she was like 3.5. She's got a little bit more of just an awareness of what's going on and asks the right questions. Cool. So she's been to a couple baseball games, a couple Sounders games. It'll be her first basketball game, and it'll be great to see. Her watch, professional women's sports, too.
She's good. I heard her the other day say, "Kobe, how my ass taste." You don't remember that? When Shaq was drunk and was out and was talking about how he was the only reason that they won championships, and he started going, "Kobe, how my ass taste."
Oh, my God. I was about to punch you through my screen. Right now.
How do you not remember this? It's like one of the most iconic Lakers moments in history because it was like
20 years ago.
The big feud between them. Who was the real championship person?
So I was in high school without social media. I didn't know that happened.
That's crazy.
Did not know that happened. But we could talk about this off air. But JJ Redick, the coach of the Lakers,
that's weird. What? Well, does he have to quit his job as co-host of LeBron's podcast now? I mean, they're co-hosting as coach, so it's just the same thing.
Yeah, I know. They'll just be recording during the game. Actually, now that's actually pretty awesome. anyway, let's get into some scuttlebutt. We're 10 minutes in. I'm gonna jump to our Discord link in the show description. Got some good stuff here. You got Patrick GC. This is more of a statement, but Rui and Rothrock should be the 70-minute attacking subs going forward, not Masofsky. Second, would Nuhu plus RBW be the best left-side pairing? Nuhu and Chu just doesn't work. Third, Christian looks good at right back. I think Alex got wally-pipped by his brother. Keep him in there, Obed at right wing. So we got three things there.
Yeah.
What do you take from
there's
that?
There's a lot. So state the first one, and then let's go one by one.
Rui and Rothrock should be the 70-minute attacking subs going forward, not Masofsky.
I mean,
so Masofsky started this last match.
I do agree in general, though, that if we're having to choose between them, yes. Rothrock, I think, has already replaced Masofsky as that sub in other games and keeps proving it. I mean, Rui wants to start, and if they're actually, I think we're more likely to see Rui Diaz start and Morris go back to the wing, because both his goals were from the wing in that game, even though he was in a forward position on the second goal in the most recent game. He was playing on the wing and moved up, so.
That was. No, that was just an in-swinger. The first goal was the corner, right? Or was it the other way around?
I mean, he made the space for Rui Diaz on the first goal. And then the second goal... Yeah, I mean, the second goal, those types of play, it doesn't matter what position you're playing in, though, on corners. But he still was on the wing at that point. But, I mean, I think, yes to Rothrock. I think we're going to see more Rui Diaz getting starting minutes, but... What a truly magical thing to have a player like Rui Diaz to come off the bench when teams are tired and be able to exploit them. It was like having Dempsey as the super sub.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I like how Rui's being used right now. He's still our most talented scorer, even after Jordan with a game winner, right? I mean, we weren't in that position without Rui Diaz, and don't take the penalties out. He's still up there as, one of our top scorers. So
I mean, he's number two.
I still want him to start when available, but I like the substitutions. If he's on the bench, bring him on in the 70th minute. It's based on
always
where we're
bring
at,
him
right?
on
halftime if I we're losing, but always bring
even
him
if,
on. Don't leave
even
him
if
on
there's
the bench.
A defensive. Even if we're winning and we need to be defensive, I think you bring him on because A, he helps stretch the field, and B, you got to get him those minutes or he's going to be pissed.
Exactly. And I honestly, watching this last game, my eye test with Musovski, I'm just not impressed. Apple TV, by the way, pissed me off because I couldn't watch the home audio.
Yeah. Nope.
When I switched to, I was watching on my laptop, then I switched to my TV, app and it wasn't available, but it was on my laptop, but I would rather watch.
That's
it on
weird.
45 inch, 70 inch TV, whatever.
That's strange. It should be the same. And
pissed me off.
It should be the same. Cause it's always the home audio that's available.
Yeah, no. And it was fine on my laptop. Oh. Like I went back and watched the goals because I wanted to hear Brad and
Danny
Jack. I was going to say Jackson Phelps, but obviously that's not. Jackson was on my mind. I wanted to hear their calls on it. And so I went back on my laptop and watched it. But I sent you what pissed me off even the most was. So they figured out, I don't know when, but. Or maybe it was always there. It was just hard to get at because it's like a gauntlet to get through your settings in Apple TV season pass and turn the score off. So when I open up the app,
but
I don't
we
have
complained
to, like,
about
see
it for a year
score.
And a half before they finally fixed it. So.
So they fixed it and it's there and it's been fine, but you have to do it on each device. It's not profile based, right? So my laptop, my phone, and my TV all had to be updated. So I go on. What they didn't update was you hit watch. So this is about 9:30, the game, or 9 o'clock. The game was still on. It was near the tail end. In fact, it was the 93rd minute. I hit watch and it gives you the option join live or start over. I click start over. You know, I like to live in my bubble and watch it as if I'm live with everyone and get an honest reaction out of myself. Brings me right to the 93rd minute. Like,
it's so weird.
Regardless of hitting start over. And I see Jordan getting mobbed and the crowd going nuts. And there's a score, 3-2. I'm like, motherfucker, I've waited all goddamn day for this.
But it's
sit down and there's
it's so weird because every time I do watch live on my phone at the games, so when I want to pull it up and see the replay, it always starts at the beginning and then I got us. So I have the opposite problem.
Well, and also, so I go back. I took a break at halftime, came out in the living room, and so now I know it's 3-2, but I don't know when the goals happened, right? So I'm watching the first half at 0-0. No, it actually wasn't you. When I switched to my fucking TV and I'm going down, it showed the goal game.
And then I had
to watch the game, but right next to the next video thumbnail is watch Jordan Moore's goal, watch the 88th minute goal. I'm like, come on, you guys. Like that. Anyway, the reason I bring it all up is because the Apple broadcasters mentioned the speed that our team has and included Musovski as one of the speed demons on the field. And I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. I've never known him to be fast. I mean, he's faster than
he's
me.
He's speedy
I'm sure,
when he comes off the bench against tired players, for sure. I mean, we've seen him make a difference in games. We saw him come in San Jose and immediately.
I think he's a little more savvy than speedy.
Yeah, but he just.
There were multiple times I looked out for that.
But he's not fast. He's got quick movements. He's not fast, I don't think.
When I hear speed, I'm not thinking, you know, change of direction. I'm thinking. You know, sprinting.
I mean,
MLS multiple times he got outrun since that comment when I was watching because I was looking out for it. Might have been confirmation bias, but I was like, man. So I think just Musovski alone, I think Rui Diaz and him don't compare. And Rothrock has been performing every time he steps on the pitch, whether it's scoring or just creating space and movement. And
I mean, Rothrock is hot.
So I agree with that comment.
He's hot. He's going to be this person as long as he's hot.
So hot right now.
What was the second question?
So hot right now. Would Nuhu plus Reed Baker-Whiting be the best L side pairing, left side pairing? Nuhu and Chu just doesn't work.
I mean, Schmetzer said after the game that Chu got in an argument with the referee and he wasn't sure what it was about, but he thinks it's because he got called for a foul that wasn't a foul and then they weren't calling fouls that were being committed on him that were fouls. He said, and this is really telling considering what we've talked about past on the show about how he's just been checked out. He was really into the game, and I love to see it. Mm-hmm. So Chu, it seems like Chu has bought in again and is ready to go. If you had asked me after the last home game, I would say, yeah, Nuhu, for sure. Because look what he did. This game, I didn't think Nuhu was good. He was terrible in Houston, and he was a nothing in this game. He was a non-factor.
He had a couple good defensive moments, but that's, I mean, his speed and his box out ability, yeah. I think.
I would rather see Reed Baker Whiting back there. I mean, Cody Baker back there. Reed Baker Whiting he plays on the right, not the left. So he can play on the left, but there's no way they're going to do that. He's far better on the right.
Well, he came in on the left.
He did, but he's better on the right. He's a right mid, right back. I mean, it's the same thing. Cody Baker can play right back. Yeah. He shouldn't. He should play left back. That's the position he's comfortable in.
Maybe you're seeing other stuff. I think he's been fine on the left side. I feel like he's played more left on the left side more recently than
he has,
right.
But he when he's been playing mid, but he's playing in the back on the right.
Okay. And then, well, I mean, he's saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
He's saying Nuhu and Reed Baker Whiting.
I'm not sold
on
Nuhu anyway, so I'd say no. To me, Nuhu had a good game, and then where he was looked like one of the best defenders in the league, and then he went back to being pedestrian. So Nuhu has a higher ceiling, but he doesn't have the consistency. So I'm not sold on Nuhu.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of the antics.
Yeah.
And there's
fair. And I think he doesn't. I don't think he just. I don't think there's just a good pairing with Nuhu on the left right now. I just
and
don't,
people won't pass to him.
In terms of
there's people on our team who will not pass him the ball. He's out there whining, throwing his hand up, and they kick it the other way every time. So clearly, there's people who are just like, "Fuck this guy."
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm still. I mean, I'm a little bit of a homer for Chu. I do see the. Kind of the passion lately of him there. I think what he needs to have is still that pair that with a little bit more confidence because he tends to just dribble into nothingness too much when he has the ability to dribble and get out.
He needs to pass the ball.
If he just makes a decision and one or two touches make a decision because that's what the defense is on their heels for. But when you don't, then they get settled a little bit. And then that's where he tends to lose it.
And he's been cutting in.
But he's still showing the ability.
Which is good.
He's cutting in. He's showing the ability to make the help.
Yeah. He's not he's being too indecisive where then they just come up and knock the ball away. He needs to and it could be that he hasn't had major minutes for a while, but he needs to step up and act quicker. But I like Chu on the field overall. I think he should probably be coming off the bench with maybe with Morris starting on the left.
Yeah, I kind of like that. And like I said, Nuhu, I think, just kind of blows shit up offensively in a bad way. And when Pedro de la Vega is available and consistently on the field.
We're so close.
We're going to see the 1-2 touch passing quick unlock abilities of this offense start to blossom. And Chu, I think, will benefit from that, where Nuhu will only deter our offense when we're trying to do things like that. Because I don't think – he doesn't have that kind of skill set. And it's just – that's not where his brain power is focused on. He's a good defender. He's a good defender, and I still like him on defense. But I think it
we're
on offense,
one to two.
I'm liking Chu Morris and
1 to 2 weeks away from Pete.
Well, that 1 to 2 weeks was 2 weeks ago.
He didn't have two full weeks of training though. This was his past week was his first full week.
Whatever. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, July 6th is the target date. Even though he could come back before that if they go by the calendar. The last question.
I'm just going to hope for the best.
The last question is, Christian is better than Alex at that position. Yes. I don't think it benefits the team to put him back there, though. I think Christian, I think he should be playing center defensive mid. We've seen that that's his best position. But I think he's probably better on the right wing as opposed to any of the other options at the moment. I'd put him still above Rothrock. Currently, but him and Rothrock as a pairing might be fun.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, I agree with you. He's better than his brother there. He's also better elsewhere on the field for us. And when he's on the field and his brother's on the field, his brother's elevated. So defense has not been terrible when Alex has been playing. We've had gaffes, but we're not the worst defensive team. I think that the more we have a better offense that produces goals, the less we have to worry about our right back and our defense. And again, I don't think we're too worried about him right now. But not wrong. He's better than
Alex
his brother.
Alex struggled this year.
I do like Obed on the field.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. He's probably been the worst of the three with Reagan and New Who competing for that. Amar's been consistent. But again, our defense is at least mid-table.
I don't think you need Obed to...
Average, if not above average.
I don't
think
you need Obed to play on the right, though, because when JP's back there, it unlocks Obed's ability to go forward. And you'll see him swing up on the right or swing up center right and make runs. And so I think you can still have that, maybe even more valuably from the center defensive mid position. I do kind of feel bad for Josh, though, who's not getting any minutes because that Obed-JP pairing is just so much better than when he's out there.
And Obed's just better, too.
The pass. I mean, we haven't talked about it because we haven't gotten to it yet. The pass to Jordan for the winning goal is one of the best passes in Sounders history.
That's a take, but it was phenomenal. It was... I totally expected Jordan to whip it.
I did too.
He didn't. And
we've seen that twice.
You know, it's like, you know, he's going to go with his right foot, which he did.
But he rolled it slightly. The way he did it, he's now twice in, I guess, three games, had a chance where he typically would have missed it, and he's actually put it away. So we're seeing a change there.
Yeah.
Where
a header and
Three weeks ago, I said I cannot live through 4.5 more years of Jordan Morris missing shots. And here we are, where all of a sudden he's just a goal machine.
Hey, at halftime of this last match, you couldn't take, you know, 4 more years of
Schmetzer,
could you? You were telling your section that.
Schmetzer out. I mean, come on. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Now, they fixed it, but we need to play more than just our full 15.
Mm.
More.
No, I mean, it a cathartic match, but it was really frustrating, especially when they
when we get to it. I want to talk about the crowd and what that was like. But let's get to some more scuttlebutt. I mean,
got it. Let's see. Damn the bastard. Firstly, thank you, Patrick GC. It was a while ago since I've read the questions and said who was that. But Dan the bastard. What are the chances something happens in the transfer window? ? I don't know why I say question mark. It's Dan Rainier. If we do bring someone in, what is the likelihood the talent is good enough to actually make a difference on the pitch?
I haven't followed up on this, but I think it was Dan that said in the Discord that someone from ECS was at what was termed an alliance meeting, which I don't know what that means, because as the Alliance Council president, I know we haven't had any alliance meetings. We have... We did announce that we do have the annual business meeting coming up at the summer event, but that Weibel said that don't expect a summer signing that breaks the top 10, 11.
So it was Dan, just referencing the main Scutterbutt channel in our Discord. It was the Alliance member Chalk Talk before the Dallas match at 6 o'clock with Sounders chief marketing officer and Sounders alum Taylor Graham. And he actually took some notes and shared it with our Discord. So jump in the Discord, go to the Scuttlebutt channel. There's a mailbag where we're reading from, and then the Scuttlebutt channel where we all just shoot the shit. And he gave us like 9 or 10 bullet points of the whole conversation. So that's really cool, actually. Thanks for
Taylor,
sharing that.
Taylor.
Because most of us
return
weren't there.
Return my calls, Taylor, man. You got time to sit down and talk to fans, but not me? Come on, bro.
Right, for real. So what was the... What was the question? The signing for this offseason, probably not spending
I was
money.
Expecting a TAM-level player based on preseason conversations that I was privy to. Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's not going to be the case because we cleared a bunch of cap space. We got rid of Arriaga. We got some funny money. But I think I guess because of probably the purchase of the rain and building the Long Acres, there's no real money left to sign anyone. Like, they've got the cap space, they just don't have actual money. There was an article that came out this week.
I would.
Did you see the article in The Athletic?
What's the article?
Athletic had an article where they interviewed Adrian. It was, to me, a very sobering article. It was nothing new, but the way they framed everything was different. Adrian said, this is our owner, Adrian Hanauer, I see no correlation between spending money and winning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know we've always had to spend economically, and maybe that's the rational next point to his what he's saying, because that's what Garth always said. And that is accurate. You don't need to outspend everyone to win. We're not seeing that. But you still have to spend some money.
Yes, I mean, yeah, it's not. So, they're not. Free so I players, would like to right? know that you got to spend.
I
wisely.
Would like to know what the context of that is, because if you're not going to spend on the team, then fucking sell the team. There's no one out there that's a bigger fan than Adrian, though. That's one thing that I hate when people. There's no one bigger fan of the Sounders than Adrian, but like, there's more to winning than spending money on players, but selling jerseys. Pedro de la Vega is the, fourth highest selling jersey in the MLS? Not because he's playing well.
He's played like an hour.
Yeah. It's not because he's...
Is he really? Yeah.
Jordan is fifth. It's not because he's playing well. Hmm. It's because you paid a bunch of money for him and he's the new star. I mean, come on. There's value there. And obviously jersey sales aren't that... It's not like baseball where... The Mariners made Mariners made all that Ichiro money back through merchandising and stuff. But I'm just like, then why did we bring a world-class facility, build it, if we're not going to have world-class players?
No. Yeah, and you're right. I'd like to see a little more context or a follow-up to that statement because it is pretty blanket sweep. You don't need to spend money.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Which is not true. You just need to spend it wisely on the right thing, have the right scouting. Yes, having great facilities and a great, a well-run organization is important. You want a good foundation to your club because you don't want to put lipstick on a pig and then bring, you know, quality players in and they're like, what the fuck? This is not right. What you sold me. So I want world-class facilities.
I agree.
Want a world-class organization. And I want world-class players. And they don't have to be... the bright, shiny toy. They can be Lodeiro, who is a world-class player.
Oh, yeah.
They can be De La Vega, who is potentially, you know, World Cup starter for Argentina.
Yeah, if he doesn't blow out his knee, he is starting for them, for sure.
Or his hammy.
I mean, I don't think the hammy is going to be that big of a deal because it's just a little...
He's missing almost as much time. He's missing half a year.
Right, but it got re-injured multiple times. I don't think it's a permanent... The knee thing could have been bad.
Tongue-in-cheek, but yeah. I'm going to grab another beer and put it in my stubby holder.
I know we had this conversation before, but it was a while ago. Why do you call it a stubby?
A stubby holder. Isn't that what the Australian...
Oh, Australian, that's thing? Right. I forgot about that. That's so funny.
And I love these ones. They have they're thick. They're not just like a cloth, right? Yeah. It's plastic, and there is a lining on the inside that is encased gel. So you freeze the stubby holder, and then you put your beer inside the stubby holder, and it's surrounded by a frozen gel.
Yeah.
So it stays colder longer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. It's
a serious drink.
But no, I think... I just want to make sure everyone does mark their calendars for, is it July 28th? Let me look because it changed multiple times. 7th, 27th. Saturday, July 27th is the Sounders Fan Fest for season ticket holders. It's your chance to meet some of your favorite players and their autographs. There are opportunities participate in kids-friendly activities. Also, at the very bottom, the 2024 annual business meeting is taking place. So you will see me on stage talking with ownership and people like that. Usually we do that at the end of the year. We have some constitutional bylaw updates, I think bylaw updates that we need to make to make this work out. But we will be having our annual BISP meeting there at this really cool summer event that I obviously will have pluses because I don't think my parents never come. So you can be my plus. And you and Gracie.
Can I talk?
I don't think you can talk.
Can Gracie
maybe
and
we
I
can
talk?
Record an episode from there, though. I will also say that I did not invite you to the Rave Gala this year as my plus one because I did not get a plus one. Let me tell you the date of that. I think it's also in July. And it's very different this year. Thursday, July 18th. I did get a slightly discounted ticket, but not enough. And I knew you were not gonna be into this. But tickets, if you want to go on July 18th, are $500 to go to the gala.
Shut the front door.
And part of that is because
we don't want to spend money.
Well, this is for the Rave Foundation. But fair. Part of that is because there is a live performance by a special Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter. So, it's gonna be a crazy, wild night if you've got the cash to blow.
Macklemore.
No, I highly recommend coming. He's not a singer-songwriter, anyways. I highly recommend coming out to the event. I am going to be there, but only because I got a slightly discounted rate because I can't afford $500. But I did feel like as Alliance Council president, it's important to be there. And also as a representative, the Sounders Scuttlebutt. I mean, I feel like I should get a
– More importantly, I should get a representative.
We should start getting a press pass and I can just start asking questions from – Hey, Brian, some people are saying Schmetzer out. What do you think of that?
What? Who are those people, Cameron? Just to wrap up some scuttlebutt here, he did have a final part of that. If no starter quality player comes, where do we meet for the riot? So you basically said, hey, you're not going to get that. But I don't think we should start a riot if it doesn't happen.
I think
if they continue to play on this level and we get
that's
De
La Vega
back,
De La Vega changes everything.
And there is no signing, I'm not upset. Exactly.
I do think we need depth. I think we need some more people that can come off the bench, especially May. I mean, now that Jay Bell's healthy, I don't know if we need a center back as much as we did. And Nathan's healthy, and he looked good when he played at the beginning of the season. But I wouldn't mind seeing a backup right back or left back, or at least a backup striker. Someone to become who Masofsky was at the beginning of the season.
For me, it was always the fullback depth, just because, we've talked about it. But if we're not losing, then I'm not starting a riot. You know, and right now we're 7 points out of the last nine. Not too bad. Any word, and I didn't catch this, I don't know if you did, from the Candy Golem. Any word on why Raul and Nuhu immediately left the pitch after the match? Raul showed his number. I think that's more showed his name when they do the thumbing your shoulder blades. But either way, Raul showed his number to the bench after he scored, so I presume he's just being sassy, but it's hard to say. I think
Schmetzer was asked that after the game. And he said, you know, you'd have to ask him specifically what he meant, but I think he was saying, don't forget about me. I'm here on the bench and I want to play because, of course, everyone wants to play. So, I mean, Brian nailed it. Mm-hmm. I got to say, as much as I said Schmetzer out a second ago, and I said it during the game, even though we're not talking about that game yet, holy hell, the subs were amazing. Like, he totally outcoached the other team and put us in a position to win that game. And it was a great, if you haven't watched the press conference, I recommend it. It was a really good one. You could tell, there was something about that win that felt different. And I think that's true for the team and it's true, for in the, in the crowd. The crowd felt different. Now, I didn't see that. I would be did Rui Diaz leave before the hands to the sky for ECS? If he did, that's a little weird. That would surprise me. I'm never paying attention to that because I'm fighting the crowd to get over and get the Gorilla FC banner down, or get.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. So, the Candy Golem, will you clarify what you witnessed in our Discord?
I mean, let's talk about either it way.
That would be something to be concerned about.
I mean, but last game he didn't start, and after the game he was hyping up Rothrock. And was going nuts for him, and like, this is the
yeah,
dude.
No, and that's what I mean. If he left before the rah-rah hand thing,
that makes me think it's an injury. Not
that'd be abnormal. Yeah. That'd be weird.
Or maybe he had somewhere to go
for New Who as well, and they didn't.
Or maybe he had to take a shit.
Maybe he had to go potty. Yeah, maybe he had to go potty. So anyway, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about that game against Dallas, the one we've all been talking about, just because that's where our brain is. Hindsight's going to affect kind of my notes, at least, from the first two matches of the week. But we'll talk about those as well. But let's just get to the nitty-gritty after this little break. Okay. 3-2 final score at home against FC Dallas. This was the second win in a week. I'm honestly forgetting what happened since we last
second
recorded.
Week, the second win at home.
Not since we last, before we last recorded.
The second win at home, which is important because we've been, as we talked about, terrible at home over the last year.
Yeah, that's 2/3 of our wins now at home over this last week. And a come-from-behind draw against Houston in Houston,
which I think
was telling from just a team identity, the belief in at least our coaches, the locker room, the questions we've been having, to have that comeback for a draw on the road. Yeah. And then midweek, no less, not a week break. That was a few days later. Travel to Houston. Weather was balmy and hot. And to come away with a point, especially coming from 2-0 down at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, they were in the locker room losing.
Shout out to Muffin Top Model. He was like, I'm going for a walk. Screw this. I mean, it was rough. I was mad. I felt the same way I did. And that's the thing. Here's what it is. We've been burned so much this year that when you go down two goals, you assume it's over. Yeah. And now we know it's not. And in fact, it's more like the Sounders used to be, where there's always a chance we're going to win the game. Doesn't matter what minute it is.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so important about this last match, is we hadn't seen the comeback until midweek, and then we saw the comeback with a stoppage time winning goal.
I mean, it's probably
from Jordan Morris,
the third best comeback of all time in Sounders history. I mean, I'm sure we've had others where we've been down to.
There wasn't there New England Revolution from like 8 or 9 years ago, something like that.
I don't think it was that long ago, but we were down 3-0 and tied 3-3. I want to say, maybe we did, because the other one was DC United, which was, I thought that was the one where we were winning, where we were down 3-0 and we won 4-3. So one of those two that were, I think, back-to-back years. I think it was the New England one we maybe won, because I went on the field at halftime with the Alliance Council, and then we all came back in the second half and scored all those goals. So I'm kind of like, if we hadn't stepped on that field and graced it with our presence, that comeback never happens.
Exactly.
So, so I think it's up there with those two. I'm sure there's other games where we've been down 2-0 and come back, but not that late.
Yeah. Well, it was 93, 88, and 75.
Somewhere in there. 78, I think. 77. I don't know.
Yeah. So basically the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was,
to
I think,
score all three of them, right?
Yeah. Play your full 15 sounds better phonetically. But Jackson pointed out rightly that technically it was 16 minutes in all those goals. But if you're looking at your updates on your phone, it's like Sounders goal 5 minutes later, Sounders goal 5 minutes later, Sounders goal 5 minutes later, Sounders win.
Yeah.
So like the updates on the phones were like every 5 minutes, another good thing happened. And my dad and my nephew left it after it was 2-1. So I text my nephew and I'm like, goal. And then when we tie it and then we win, or when we get the game winning goal, I called him. He's like, we scored again. Because they had to get up really early and drive to Idaho today. So, my dad's 84. Excuse. So, just about. He turns 84 in a couple months.
I'll accept that excuse. So you were there. Yeah. You were there. You were chanting Schmetzer out. It was 0-0 at halftime. It was 2-0 within the first 20.
Yeah, there's
so
a four minute period of there where they scored their two goals. I was in the restroom for the first goal, but I heard it on the radio call. And of course, I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me, Sounders, while I'm at the urinal. And then I get back, I sit down, and then within, I don't know, a minute, they scored their second goal. And, I mean, the first one, sure, it's a Reagan mistake, but the whole team was kind of standing around. And then the second one was just like, what are you guys doing? Like, and someone was like, why did they just celebrate like they won the championship? Because they went nuts. And you know why? It's because they haven't won a road game this season. They thought, oh my God, we just won our first road game. They are like us in that they've been underperforming. Look at their roster. There's no reason they should be as bad as they are. They're the same as us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be said, they are on an interim coach right now. And I think
he did a good job.
No, and I think they were on a three-game
unlosing streak.
See, no, they just beat Minnesota 5-3. They had just beat before that St. Louis 2-0. They drew against Minnesota before that, so they were on three game unbeaten streak, only giving up. Well, it's 5-3 against Minnesota, but one against Minnesota, nothing against St. Louis. So they were playing pretty well. I don't know when interim came into play. I don't know his name. He's French, I believe. Best friends with Thierry Henry, apparently, said the Apple.
That's
Apple
cool.
People. He like hung out with him to learn about how to coach.
Yeah, Thierry,
I guess,
coached.
Listen to Thierry. But yeah, they played well. They looked better than their record. They looked better in Houston.
Oh, for sure.
In my opinion,
Houston's far above them in the table. But
I thought we were actually playing okay, but. Like we were playing quicker and more downhill. We just weren't. It was the same shit. We just weren't putting it in the back of the net. I was enjoying watching a little bit more, but once they started scoring, I couldn't help but be dejected.
Yeah, I texted Jackson at halftime, and I was like, "Usually I would be really mad right now. I'm a little frustrated, but not so much because I think a goal's coming. Like we were the better team, but at one point we were down 2-0." With 18 shots on goal and no goals to their, like, four.
Yeah, and I should say I wasn't dejected because I knew the outcome of the game. but I didn't – I was putting myself in that, which is why I don't like knowing the outcome of the game. I was trying to put myself in if I was watching this right now, which would be –
It was
this
so
is,
dejected.
This Dang. Is just not – yeah.
It was
– And so what was it like in the stadium?
I mean, you could tell, like, the crowd was distraught. It was like this again. I mean, saying Schmetzer out, although no one joined me, I have people all around me going, when is Schmetzer going to be replaced as the coach? I've been asked that question like 4 or 5 times by different people who don't know I do a podcast. They just know I'm on Alliance Council.
Why don't they?
Because they're older and don't listen to podcasts. They're not of our generation or younger.
I'm going to get you a Scuttlebutt t-shirt, and you're going to start conversations at every game.
Give me some Scuttlebutt business Discord. Cards. So it was an interesting experience in there because when the two goals went in, it was like total dejection. But then Raul comes on, and as soon as that first goal goes in, and for it to be a header from Raul, too, which is not usually what he does.
No.
You felt it change. You felt people go, oh, we can come back. Well, because, of course, 2-0 is the most dangerous goal in soccer, or score in soccer.
Right.
But it was like, oh, okay, yeah, we can come back. And so you saw the fan. It started feeling like, oh, yeah, bring it. Let's look. Because they saw how we were playing better. We were moving the ball better. The Dallas wasn't challenging us anymore. We'd gotten past that stretch. And then the second goal goes in. And I was talking to John Marshall, who is always at the press conferences, asking Brian questions. I was talking to him earlier today, and he was like, yeah, as soon as that second goal went in, you know a third was coming. And that's what it felt like. It was like, oh, good. Like, we're going to go home happy because we pulled a tie out of this, just like we did in Houston. But at that point, I was still going, that only puts us 3 points above the Siggy line, where we were going to finish 2 points above the Siggy line after 20 games. Like, is 2 points above the Siggy line good enough to keep a coach's job?
Or just a marginal, yeah.
5 points is a different story. That's a win and two more draws. So, but yeah, you just knew something, like the team was pushing forward. They were still going. And there was a few mistakes there where I felt like we probably could have scored a few more. But before that, once we scored the third, obviously the game changed and you're no longer trying to score. Of course, there was 5 minutes left and we had to figure out thereabouts because they added time in injury time after the injury time. I think it was 6 minutes.
There's still a lot.
But, yeah. But they...
Considering we had just scored three goals in 15, 16
but
minutes.
But people had gone down, yeah, so they added a little more time anyway. So...
There's still plenty of time for them to come back.
Yeah, I was worried about that, but it was just this – it was like the Montreal game in some ways, but even more so. It was just this cathartic moment that, like, I don't know, after the game, everyone was in a good mood, even, like – I just walk up and people putting your arms around you, just like, oh my God, we won. It was just so unexpected based on the way, not the way we were playing, but the way things were playing out. I think in years past, the ball bounces the Sounders' way. And that's why we're not just winning championships because we're good. We are good. We're winning championships because we're lucky too, because it always takes some luck. And in the last few years, the ball's no longer bouncing our way. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong. And this was like, oh no, things are finally turning around. So if they can consistently play this way, and I don't mean going down 2-0, but winning, scoring. Because if we tie a game 2-2 or 3-3, I don't think people are going to be pissed. They're going to be like, thank God we scored that many goals, depending on the situation. But if it's like if Dallas, we're up 2-0 and then we blow it, That might be a little different. It felt different after that. There was a sense of relief. It was like a deep sigh of relief.
So, yeah, no, and I wasn't there, but you mentioned kind of like you need luck, and the last few years it felt like we haven't had that. It's funny because up until the last, let's say, 5 or 6 weeks, like Portland, right? We were on... a little unbeaten streak, and then there was KC, which was annoying.
But it was,
and then we're on this.
Ties.
About. So, like 5 or 6 weeks, I felt like we've been better as a team, just not scoring as many goals. But up until that point, the only reason we were getting results is because we were getting lucky. How many red cards and penalties against the other team that benefited us had we?
But
seen
also, how many
year?
Against
Raul,
us?
Raul was 3 PKs. I mean, I don't remember seeing many PKs at all last year, and there was like 3 or 4 in the first 3 or 4 matches.
Yeah, but I
and it was a red card and a PK in like.
I guess it depends on the match, but I usually don't view PKs as luck unless depending on what happens. I think often there's skill involved in it. In that, and this is something the Sounders didn't do at the beginning of the season, and that's the point where it changed. Kick it in the goddamn box. And when you kick it in the box, there's hands flailing around. Yeah. And if there's hands flailing around, they're going to hit the ball.
Yeah. And I guess more of my point is we weren't as a system producing anything. The only thing that was getting us any points on the table what seemed like luck or fluke or a red card. Things that aren't consistent to the game that you can control, right? A PK, a red card, something lucky, a VAR decision, reverse.
I still feel like the ball wasn't bouncing away.
Because we weren't doing a good job of it, I guess. I don't know. But recently, I mean, we have two goals against Minnesota, multiple goals against Portland. We have two goals against Houston in a comeback, and now three goals. But in just the last three games that we're talking about now, that's seven goals in three matches. If we can average more than two goals a match, we're good. You know, like we're going to be
like the Mariners.
And we're going to score three, four goals.
The Mariners, when they score three runs or more, are one of the best teams in baseball this year. When they score two runs or less, they're 4-35.
Exactly. So, and don't tell me the score of the game today. Unless I shouldn't watch it, my rule five run.
I don't
loss.
Think so. I didn't check the score, but I don't think it was with. I mean, I checked the score. I don't think it was within five runs. So I mean, no. I mean, that stat was also 2 days old, Mariner stat. So today and yesterday don't even account into it.
We slept half the day, so I'm feeling very. Whereas a month ago we were talking about anger versus apathy. Shout out to Muffin Top Model. I feel like now, is this real?
That's what they're going to have to prove.
Is this just a prolonged Montreal where we're just playing a good little stretch of run here, but there is more something systemic to our team that has not been fixed and we're just not seeing the house of cards fall down yet? Or is this us actually building some confidence, building some consistency and chemistry on with the players that we have had consistently available? And then we're going to get Pedro de la Vega, hopefully, and there's no excuse for him not, unless a freak accident happens. He should not re-aggravate this injury, because all they've been telling us is we're not allowing that to happen. That's why you're not seeing him right now. So we can only assume he's going to come back, unless it's something completely different, that he's going to be healthy and available and only elevate and force more multiply our offense. And our offense scoring helps our defense, right?
So, no, I think he's...
Is this real? Do you think this is real?
I'm in show it mode. I mean, I will say that this discussion about maybe this is a change in apathy versus anger, all that, I think that conversation change is only happening after this game. I had people talking to me before this game about, why am I even here? I don't want to be here. I'm here because it's our ritual, not because I think the Sounders are going to win. I don't show up anymore and think the Sounders are going to win. Now, maybe that's changing after this game. They have to live up to it, but I think they need more than two wins in a row at home. That being said, we have last place in the East Chicago coming up this coming Saturday, who only has four wins on the season. And then we followed up. They might be second to last place. And then we followed up with New England, who I believe is last place, and Caleb Porter, and that team is a complete mess.
No, Chicago's in last place with 18 points, and New England is 19 points.
So they just passed them.
I mean, there's a 1 point between 12, 13, 14, and 15th place.
So, and as Jackson Felt said, as a fan, we view those as both 3 points. Obviously, you got to play those games. We've seen us play poorly against San Jose. We've seen us play poorly against Kansas City. We've seen us play poorly in Dallas, although not losing. We've seen us and those are all the teams below us besides St. Louis. We need to win these games because they're against bad teams. It's like the Mariners this year. The reason why they're in first place is they're winning the games they should win. Now they're losing the games against all the playoff teams. They haven't won a single series against a potential playoff team so far, I don't think. They lost...
A potential playoff team of this year, and then they swept the Rangers.
No, but they
world champs. But yeah, I get
Baltimore,
what you mean.
New York, you know, the not Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City, those teams.
Cleveland's our number.
They're just they're not beating them. We should be beating the bottom feeders unless we're going to be a bottom feeder. So these next two games are must win, in my opinion. If you don't win them, what the heck is going on?
So must win, not must not lose, right? You this should be six points.
I'm not. If you don't come away with 6 points, it's a disappointment. These teams are terrible. At the same time, you have to execute. If you come through with 6 points, something's changing. That's four straight wins at home. We get on a little roll. We're gonna get some more just confidence, and then that New England game is the target game for PDLV. So if he comes back and makes an impact, we're only going to get better from then on. And then I think we make that playoff stretch. I mean, the problem is we have a game in hand on a lot of these teams. Two games in hand in Vancouver, who's tied with us, which is why we're in 10th and not 9th. We're only at 1.25 points a game.
Flip that around. We played 20 matches, Vancouver.
That's what I'm saying. 18. We play two more matches than them. So they have two games in hand on us. Did I say we have him? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they.
At least that's how I heard that we have two. No, they do. But
ten,
no, we need to perform.
Is,
we don't.
10
places
where we belong, because
right
the real stat is points per game. And in points per game, we're at 1.25, which puts us perfectly in 10th place. Austin and Portland are at 1.35. Mm-hmm. They've also played more games than us. I mean, the same games as us. Vancouver at 1.39 has played two less, and Houston's played one less at 1.42. That is the top.
Austin will be interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have
right
them coming
so,
up. That's our only away game.
So
the next five.
We need to get matches. We need to get some points there, because the other games we should win. And if we can eke out points there, suddenly we're moving up that table, right? Suddenly, I can't do the math on what it means to get you know, let's say six points, even just 7 points in three more games. But if we go to 23 and add seven more points, we'd have to do the math. But it becomes a very interesting proposition where we see us moving up the table, and we become a solid playoff team. And if we're hot going to the playoffs, it doesn't matter what position we're in. Obviously, we'd rather play at home, but that's not the point at that point. The point is to win.
Yeah, I mean, averaging 2 points a match,
that's what we want.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I mean, LAFC is 1.95, and they're first in Western Conference. Number one and number two, Miami and Cincinnati in Eastern Conference, 2.05. So, I mean, you're playing top of the table.
Yeah, if we pull out 7 points.
If you're playing at 7 points the next three, you're.
Yeah, I mean, that moves us up to 1.4 points. So that puts us.
But you're on a pace. You're on a pace for the rest of the season.
Correct.
If you're doing that we have nothing to worry
correct
about, right? And we're seeing good quality soccer. You're seeing a system work. You're not worried about anything. Only this random ass shit can happen. And ultimately, what we've been bitching about and hoping is the case for the first half of the season is it just the inconsistency of available players? Is it just that? Is it and not managing that well? That's okay if you can't manage the fact where we got four players injured all at once. You know, I get that. That's tough. I'm mad at you for not doing your job, but you can have a bad couple weeks when everything's different every fucking week.
Yeah.
Now, when it's, you got to figure it out after it's been half a season. And it seems like we're doing that, because who do we still not have available? Pedro de la Vega. But what are we doing? We're getting points. We're averaging 2 points a game in our last nine. 2.33 technically in our last, not nine, but our last three matches. Keep that going. We have the schedule that should give that to us. I think LAFC and St. Louis are potential losses, but they're at home. And if the talk of making this a fortress again has any gusto behind it, then that's where you prove it. Austin's on the road. If we get a draw there or even a loss, and the other ones are, you know, three victories out of four or three out of six, you know, that's,
and
I'm
we
happy
are
with it. I don't want to lose to Austin. They're just above us on the table, not
them
by much, but they just are.
Or tie them at least. What, how many games we play? 38? 38. Yes. Yeah, I think it's 38.
34. 30. Sounds,
it's one of those two. We're either one or two games past halfway through the season, and we also have two more road games than we have home games. So that means if our home form turns around, where we do only have one home loss, it's those draws, it's those drop points with our five ties. We have six losses on the road. We're losing on the road. But if we can at home turn those five draws into wins and start picking up those points, considering we'll have several more home games and road games down the stretch here, we could easily make a run for the top half of the table.
Totally agree. Let's I took a shit ton.
Thanks for that.
You just got me so excited that I just one leaked out there. I've changed too many diapers that I think it's normal. Yeah, so we kind of already covered it. I wanted to go over just some things though.
Notes.
The notes from the matches before we end this. I'm trying to. There's so much information, yeah, and I don't want to make this an hour and a half podcast or 2 hour podcast even. But three matches, 2 weeks. Let me look at my notes. Oh, one thing that stood out to me: Rusnak getting assists right
now. He's up to seven on the season, somewhere in there. Eight.
Eight.
Turn it up.
Maybe nine.
No, I think that was eight. He's playing
eight,
like a DP.
I made a note about it when he had six. Yeah,
he's playing like a DP.
Thank you.
I think he is a player that goes under the radar because people want him to score. I don't know if the way we use him allows for that as much as we would like. However, he's getting assists. And Nico actually has six assists this year. He only has one goal, but he has six assists. But he's producing more than Nico did at – quote unquote the same position. So he's been a step up with eight assists.
I think it's hard to compare their production this season. They're not like for like with where he's playing and where
they probably
score
more goals than us.
I've just seen such like just bullshit. People just hating on him. And you know, I made that video of highlighting every touch of the CONCACAF final. But really, but I want people to actually put their own little highlight when they watch a game, because his ability to help our team transition and how he's able to open up his hips and look forward and control the ball, his soft baby little feet, like he's probably our best player. Raul Ruy Diaz has a skill too. He's just such a scorer and little flea. That you don't find him in the midfield, and when he is, he shouldn't be, because it kind of fucks everything else up. But he's got that technical ability that you could fire a ball at him and he can just pull it
down.
Yeah,
I think that's why some of the criticism comes for Rusnak, though, is that he's not going into challenges hard. But also, he's a technical player. He's not going to do that. That's just not who he is.
Yeah. No, JP, Obed, defense do that. Next pass goes to Rusnak, and he's able to make the right next pass. And I think there's going to be confirmation bias from people who want to hate him and see how he has some turnovers in a match. But when he doesn't turn the ball over, which is more often than not, he does a fantastic job, and he's getting assists, he's getting goals. JP also was on another level for most of this last match.
At the point we tied it, he had 100 touches in the game. 100,
and probably like a 90. It probably was like a 90th or 90% pass completion.
Wild.
It was somewhere up there earlier.
Wild.
Yeah, no, he was all over the place, gassed, I'm sure. But
and you could tell that with Rusnak too. At the end of the game, he was just so tired and was not staying up with the play because the new players were so fresh, but. That's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if as long as they're not, if they're a little bit deeper, it's fine as long as they're not letting balls get by.
Can we talk about the Circle of Legends?
Oh yeah, we didn't have a show since
the post the poster, the poster that got hung up.
I have no
like it was all on New York City FC champion poster that they unrolled?
You know, I think it's important to note that the Sounders are an organization that
don't want to spend a lot of
loves
money.
Their past and are going to do everything possible to support that, and that's what I support. I have no other comment than that. No.
I was going to say, is it really that touchy? Like, you can't bitch about the Kinko's printout that they
I have not I have not unfurled. Gotten information on why it was like that. I felt similarly. My guess, and this is why I'm not willing to publicly like go in on the Sounders until I have this information, is that we don't own that stadium. We're renters, right? And so the ability to just put up something in the stadium, it's not that easy. You have to plan for it. And so the Seahawks are all on one side and the sponsors are on the other. Mm-hmm. So until they can figure that out, you can't just put a permanent thing up there. It's not like hanging a banner. So that
is it not like hanging a banner, or is it exactly like hanging a banner?
No, because, if they were doing it properly,
we knew what season this
if
was.
If we were doing it properly, it's
long before
the 50-year anniversary has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. It just worked out this way. The 50-year anniversary has been something that I've been working on along with Daniel Rowe and Nicholas Biella since 2016, I think. I'm happy to say that the way they have done it is largely based on what we put together. And so it's really cool to see the fans have an influence like we did. I mean, you know, percentages change, processes change, but the setup is largely what we came up with. And that was Dan talking Hockey Hall of Fame, Nick talking Baseball Hall of Fame, and me being a lawyer coming together and drawing up documents that never made it to the club because of Alliance Council political reasons, and so were turned over later, and then constantly reminded them that this existed and we had put all this hard work into it for years, and then they saw, I was like, yes, this is the perfect year. So it's happened in the 50 year because of that, but it's not like 2 years ago, they were like, okay, we're doing it this for this year. There wasn't time to plan ahead and say, okay, we're going to put up, you know, because the Seahawks Circle of Honor, their names are permanently on the wall. That wasn't going to happen in the short time, most likely, I'm guessing, because of the contract they have with the Seahawks and their renters in the stadium. I also don't know if there's how it's going to function because I don't think the Hall of Fame, which the Circle of Legends is part of the Hall of Fame, is going to be at the stadium. It's going to be at Long Acres.
Yeah.
So
that's why I thought it was silly. And I get where you're coming from and that we're renters.
But did it look shabby? Like yes. Was it sad for Dwayne when he pointed at it and they didn't drop it? And then it was like a couple minutes later when they finally dropped it. Yes. So Dwayne pointed over and went, ta-da, and then nothing came down. So it was.
Someone forgot to use their Scotch scissors just to.
So it was.
It's that easy.
It was
just
interesting.
Unroll it down.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that was the route they went. I think, based on the video footage I saw, that the entire, I think the suite above it was all. The suite, like the families of those people, maybe. If it seemed like that became part of it, so I don't know.
Well, there was an arrow on the poster pointing to them. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a little underwhelming, considering
the gravitas of what it is.
Immortality, and we have a banner.
I think so. My guess is moving forward, when you're not inducting an entire season, which if, for those that weren't there, the entire 1974 team was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Into the Circle of Legends, I should say. The Hall of Fame is the quote unquote building. The Circle of Legends is the honor. It's the Ring of Honor, like the Seahawks.
The honor, and
and the way we've talked about it, and I think the Sounders will flesh this out more with them because it for a physical space, you can have exhibits and stuff in a Hall of Fame, like an exhibit on the save, you know, stuff like that. Where, or based on the numbers, and I don't like this because. I mean, the exact numbers are not exactly what we put forth. Based on the numbers, I do not believe Roman Torres qualifies for the Sounders Circle of Honor. However, for me, the fact that he kicked in the game-winning goal in the very first MLS Cup championship means he should be there. That's my opinion. That's not the way it worked out, though, because you have to play 200 MLS, or I think it's 100 MLS matches or 200 total matches, and or you have to have like two out of three or four categories, and he doesn't meet it. I think that's unfortunate.
Sometimes everything doesn't need to be by numbers. Like, I get why people like to create a system around something and a process, but sometimes there's
but
just
at the same
feel,
time,
right?
At the same time,
and I agree
does,
with you on that one.
I mean, I think he belongs. Does he though? If you take away that kick and you agree that kick will be in the Hall of Fame, does he as a person and what he brought to the club belong in that? Like, think about Marshawn Lynch. Does Marshawn Lynch belong in the Seahawks Ring of Honor? He has some of the biggest plays in Seahawks history. Is he the reason we won championships as Seahawks? Probably not.
I don't. This could be a discussion for another time because we're running out of time. But for both of them, honestly, it's like, when you take a step back and realize, I feel like they were that important. I mean, I consider Roman, other than Chad Marshall, to be right up there with Yamar in the physicality. Like, that's just not a center back anyone wants to go up against,
right? And it
I noticed in this match, like, there was like a shove Yamar put on a guy, and the guy got up and didn't even look at him, and that he should have. And maybe a player that was shorter than the Dallas player would have maybe gone up into his face. The guy hadn't wanted nothing to do with Yamar, even though Yamar gave him a kind of a cheap little shove there, and which didn't get called. I was like, ooh, Yamar. I was like, there are certain players you just don't step up against that hold, like, like, he's going to fuck me up. And he also is someone that can come through and support your teammates. It's just kind of like, I don't know. He just seems like that being on the field that just everyone gravitates to. He also got Jordan to try to dance a little bit. Like, he's just... He had the heart. He was like another version of El Corazon for this team. And
you don't got to convince me, brother. I agree.
Panama as well.
But,
okay.
But I mean, but here's the thing: is it?
It wasn't just one moment for me.
It does create situations where I'm putting this off the top of my head. I don't have the things in front of me. I think based on the numbers, someone like Taylor Graham would qualify as a player for it, but he wouldn't. Whereas to me, Taylor does not go in as a player. I think he goes in as on the builder's side of it because of the player and the job he's done in the front office, but not just as a player. So
that goes another argument towards it. It's more about take a step back and look at what they've done. Yeah. That kind of sucks. One thing I want to say from my extensive notes, because there's three games, but from this last match, guess what our win probability was? Because Apple TV likes to show that. As soon as we were down 2-0.
I can't remember if it was that game or the game before.
The
game before.
72nd
The game
minute.
Before, it was against Houston, it was 90.1%. So I'm guessing it was even higher because this was later.
95? 72nd 95? So a 5% chance to win for us? 1.5% chance.
98.5. Wow. I wonder how it changed with each successive goal.
It wasn't. It was only like a 2-point something after it was.
Wow.
I just didn't write it down. Yeah, and they were just like, "You're just not gonna win." So that's
impressive. I mean, right? But if you had asked the people in the stadium after we scored the second goal what our chance to win was, I think it would have been about an 80% chance to win. People were hyped. People believed. And before
I hope the belief is there.
Before we get too far ending this episode, I just want to say both Paul Rothrock and Jackson Reagan scored in the game before at Houston, and they asked Reagan, when was the last time?
That was his first goal.
Yeah. When he spit out the exact date where they both scored before, which was like a cup final when they were in like Sounders Academy. So they've done it before.
Oh, that they both scored in the same match together?
But it was the Sounders. Funny. So the Sounders actually put up a picture of them on that Academy team next to each other. So you got to see them little babies playing together.
How cute.
No, and that was a badass goal from him, actually. When you think Jackson Reagan scored, you're immediately thinking he towered above somebody and headed it in.
That's
just his body type, right? Outside his right foot, running towards the end line, kind of away from goal, just getting it on there and having it go across goal. It was fantastic. Yeah.
No, I mean, we're seeing a run of great play with some bad minutes, is what I think we see. We had four, five bad minutes in this game. We obviously had more in the Houston game, but not a lot more. In Minnesota, I'm sure there were some bad minutes, but they didn't capitalize on them. If we can start cutting out some of those individual mistakes that, I mean, and Brian said it after the game. He said, look, this is not I'm not bad mouthing Dallas, but neither of those goals should have happened. There's people who didn't do their jobs, and we can fix that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like we're talking wonder goals. It wasn't, was it last year or this year? I just remember there's a game, LA, against LA, where there was a goal. It was like, no one's stopping that. Like, that's going in no matter what. There wasn't a mistake. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could argue someone didn't close down fast enough, but that goal was phenomenal. That was not the case here. This is Reagan getting cutesy instead of clearing the ball. But that's also not unique to him. That's why today at Pub League, I kicked it out of bounds three or four times just as clearing the ball. Because it's like, just kick it out of bounds. I know that gives them a corner. But that's better than just kicking it to the outside of the box where now all of a sudden they have numbers moving forward.
Mm. Yeah, and to be fair, I mean that was a phenomenal pass by Obed, but that was from a turnover that we got that ball. And a questionable no call on a handball from – or no handball on –
Actually, I have the answer to that.
It didn't.
I know why that was not a handball. That could be called. Why? I think it was a handball. Because in between that handball happening and that pass to the goal, there was possession taken by Dallas, and then we got it back. So as soon as the possession goes away and then comes back to us, they can no longer go back and review it. It's like in NFL when you hike the ball and go to the next play. So I think they probably call that back if it had been a direct handball. But James Woolard was telling me about this today.
So they did review it, and then they realized because it had
they
reached
couldn't,
that.
Yeah, they couldn't review it.
Because possession. Okay,
because Dallas had taken possession of the ball and then given up possession back to us, there had been a double change of possession. You can no longer go back and review that.
Interesting. Well, I was going to say it seemed like, and we kind of hinted at it, or I don't know if we hinted, we just kind of were speaking that way, that Dallas hadn't won a match away. They were up 2-0, and it seemed like they kind of like just leaned back and put their arms across the chairs and just said, hey, we got this. We got our first win. Because after that, it was, like, oh, shit.
We've seen,
right? And you were saying in this stadium, at least after the first goal, where it was 2-1, that it didn't feel that way. But they, I think, completely turned off because we looked okay and they looked better. And then it showed up in the form of 2 goals. And I think they just, interim coach, who is playing well, for that they've been playing well, they had just not been in that position. So here's a new position scenario for you to coach your team on, and they were on the losing end of it.
I think he got out-coached.
And they'll learn from that. If we play FC Dallas again, I'm going to be a lot more concerned about what we're about to face.
I would doubt we will. We'd have to play them in the playoffs, so maybe if they...
We don't have them on the schedule again?
No, we played them twice already this year. So we played at Dallas.
That's right, we did. Oh, yeah, because I was in fucking Arlington just before.
I can't remember, 0-0 or 1-1 draw, something like that. So we don't play them again. We could play them in the playoffs, though. I mean, that if they turn their season around based on the talent they have, both of us could easily. And plus, hopefully, Vancouver and Portland are going to tank, and all will be right in the world again.
Well, they will remember this match if we play them again, and I wouldn't expect the same type of if the scenario is in it anywhere near where we're behind them that they will react the same way. They're going to be on it to probably score 4 or 5.
I know their fan base always hates us because what we do to them in the playoffs, but...
Well, no one likes us. No one likes us. We don't care. All right. Chicago, and then let's pull this into port. We already talked about it. They are playing terribly. They are at the bottom. They have 18 points, under 1 point per match. They played 19 matches. They've scored 23.
Two less than us.
Reference, we've scored 27.
We've scored 27.
34 against. That's a negative 11. They are on the road, only won one match.
Yep. We're plus...
Four losses, we're plus four draws. Two,
right, on our goal differential?
Now we're plus two. Yeah.
And Jordan is now officially the second. He passed Freddie for the second highest goal total in team history.
Oh, congrats. So he's going to shatter that.
Yeah.
This is a win. We've said it, it's required for us not to be fooled.
It's at home and it's against the bottom of the East. It's got to be a win. Now, don't overlook them. They're still, it's still any given Sunday, right? They can go out there and they're professionals. But talent versus talent, we should not lose this game.
All right, I'm going to say 3-0.
Woo! I love that. I'm going to say 2-1. 2-1.
We got a week off. We got a week off. We have a normal break. We don't have, no one got injured. We should have everyone available other than Pedro de la Vega. Everyone available that's been.
Yeah, I think he was the only. Who do we have any other injuries? I think he was the only person on the injury report. I guess Brett.
Brasilio
Rodriguez, is he still hurt?
I don't know.
He wasn't on the injury report, but is he not? Maybe he got sent down to Defiance.
Yeah, well, he wasn't on the bench. Yeah, so, I mean, there's no reason that we shouldn't get a victory here, and I want to see a decisive win, a shutout. I want the defense to play. I want everything. Everyone needs to play well. Get this victory. Go into, I think then we have, is it New England? It is New England right away because Sacramento's in there somewhere on the 9th.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
we are talking about figuring out a bar to go watch that game. So if that happens, I'll share it with people because that would be fun to get people together because that's a big game.
Oh, it is.
It's away and Sacramento is good. And so it'll depend on who we start because we've talked about it, right? We've been starting our youth, which are at a lower level than USL Championship. And so will we be putting our starters in? Some of them, will that depend on our form? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So.
For sure, and we'll have a dedicated episode about that match before we get to it.
Smart.
At least I agree. This is just too much. It's too much unless we record like every 3 days, which we're not going to do. Patrick GC, you had some other Discord in here. I appreciate them. We don't have time for them, but we'll do have time for them in the Discord. Mariners analogy or at least comparison here that he put in there, circle of trust, love it. We already got one of yours earlier.
So Braulio Rodriguez, the answer is not on the report. So it was John Bell away on international duty. And of course we talked about Alex Roldan head injury, so I wasn't counting that. So it was only PDLV. So that's interesting that he's not in the 18, but Rodriguez is back. Now that might be the striker that we need for the second half of the season.
That'd be interesting. And then we might see him interspersed maybe with some starters or something.
That would be nice, considering what we know he can do at the MLS Next Pro level. Can he see that translate at all to the MLS? I would like to see that.
And Georgie as well, but he's played some first team minutes. Isn't there like an average?
Yeah, I think,
rule,
I think, but I think Georgie is not signed to the first team, is he? He did sign. I can't remember now.
He signed one, and the only reason he was able to play in the last Open Cup was because they purposefully subbed him on at a certain point, so his average minutes were below what.
But I can't remember if we signed him to an emergency contract or if we signed him to an actual contract.
I think it was a first team. I think it was a first team, but we can talk about it on the time or correct us in the Discord.
Yep, let us know.
All right, let's bring this into port. I am tired. It's 11:15. I got babies. We're an hour and a half
into this.
And reminder, if you've just thoroughly enjoyed everything that you've listened to today and in the past and going forward, you can jump on Patreon, spend $1.74.
Give us your $1.74, yo.
Help support the show. I'm a dad of two girls. I have a home and a family. You have liquid death to buy.
I have liquid death to buy. And my LG OLED TV has burn-in from Fortnite. So I need a new TV. Give us that money.
Help us out.
I am
Help us out. I have daycare. He needs a TV.
I am a suffering young man who can't afford a top-of-the-line OLED TV. If let's see, I think a new one's like $1,500. So if 3,000 of you subscribe to it, then I can get a TV and you can get daycare for a week. Because that about $1,500 for a week of daycare, is that right? It's ridiculous.
It feels like it. And once, I mean, we're prolonging baby number two, little Margot, for as long as we possibly can before we put her in there. That's why my leave is separate from my wife's. Yeah. Like, I'm off for another month and a half, but it's another mortgage, literally. Like, have two kids in daycare, it's about $3,000
a month. Ridiculous. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So $1.74, yeah. Please.
Or
it's cheaper. It's cheaper than taking the 520.
You should put that 1974 up there just in case we have. Maybe Bill Gates is a fan of the show and wants to be rich. I'm Mr. Richie Rich. Here's $19.74.
Yeah, if he couldn't do 174, he's not going to do 1974.
Yeah, but he's probably like, I'm not going to. It's not worth even going to the website to give them a dollar. What's a dollar?
I don't know what a dollar is. Yeah. What's a dollar?
I mean, it's true. The equivalent of us walking over a penny is the equivalent of him walking over a $100 bill.
Yeah, that's true. That's crazy. But anyway, yeah, join our Patreon where it'll build. The community will build as it builds. I just threw it out there because, you know, there's nice people out there that don't want to support the show because you love us so much. That's where you go. Discord right now is where we go for our
subscribe
as a community. The supporter section on Patreon potentially grows. We will prioritize them.
Subscribe in the everywhere. Section, then our wherever Discord. You listen to podcasts, subscribe and set auto downloads on because that way, even if you can't get to us for a week and because the show is, I mean, of course you should be going back and listening to our genius after the fact. But I understand that after a bad loss, you might not want to go back and listen to the pregame show from before the loss. So make it auto download. So even if you don't get around to listening to it, it still downloads it and we get that stat. So, do that and then rate us 5 stars wherever you can, particularly on iTunes. Let's get us to be the number one Sounders podcast out there. Brad and Steve, they're coasting strictly on the fact that they have that corporate Sounders money. They're coming in by the team. We're the young upstarts. We love you. Give us 5 stars. We're going to take over the world along with the Sounders winning the next 2 matches at home.
And we're grassroots. Let's see if we have any.
Yeah.
Moments.
Oh, yeah. Because we do get occasional reviews, but yeah, seriously, guys, 5-star reviews help us so much. Even if you have nothing to say, just go in there and give us 5 stars. It is so helpful. It gets us noticed.
No, it's still just the one-star bastard who didn't want to actually give a review,
that's fine.
But everything else is five
stars. I'm sure
stars.
That's my fault.
Thanks,
but
Ricky
at the
Rocket.
Same time, I think we've gained followers because of my my rant on that one that got us the 1 star.
Your rant was, I think, in April, and we've gotten 5 stars since then. So maybe it was also your rant that got us a couple more. But your Apple podcast definitely has the review and rate on there. Subscribe,
Spotify,
download. That's the stat for you. And that's for all your favorite podcasts. Set to auto download. That's the stat that all the.
Yep. Doesn't matter whether you're listening to Behind the Bastards, Lions Led by Donkeys, Popular Front. How did this get made?
Shift
F1. Yep. That's on my list still. Those are all podcasts I'm listening to. You should, if you're not listening to other podcasts besides ours, that's fine. Just listen to ours. But if you need other podcasts, we've always got recommendations for you. They're not top tier like us, but they will entertain you.
We've actually, I think we had a recent question about what podcast.
Oh, well, we'll do it next show.
So, there we go. No, we had one. We answered it. It was two weeks ago. And I said mine was really only the shift up.
Oh, it was the episode I wasn't on.
Other than local radio.
I wasn't
radio.
On because you were with Nick.
That's right.
You listen to local radio?
Possibly. Well, the podcast versions of them, okay. Not live.
I thought you meant like...
Just to stay in touch with just Seattle sports.
Yeah, I thought you meant like news.
Anyway.
And I was like, ew. You know, I was thinking, it's a nice night out. I wonder where James Wellard is. Maybe he could take it into port.
You don't want to do your hand?
Oh, legal-minded punk. Everywhere it can be found on Instagram and X and whatever. How about you?
At AARONLINGLEY, Aaron Lingling. Now, James,
take us away. Yeah.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.